Welcome to A Dopamine Kick.
Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 98 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we are going to be talking about more ways that you can stop people pleasing.
We are rejoining this episode from last week because we cut it short because Shell didn't feel very well. You still don't feel very well.
I'm still not well, no.
So going to go easy on you this week. I'm trying not to ramble as well, so I'm hoping that I'm not just going to, you know, take over and talk because honestly... I keep listening back to the episodes and I think, why am I alive? Like, why do I talk?
Why am I alive? So dramatic. Not, I talk too much. Why am I alive?
Yeah, this is a question I ask myself on a daily basis. So, we couldn't remember where we were. So, I'm sure I was talking about self-assertiveness. So, sure, we've done that point. So, we'll skip that. And we'll talk about coping mechanisms because... I was researching this topic a little bit. I was trying to be prepared. And actually, I didn't realise that people-pleasing can be a coping mechanism for people with ADHD because of the challenges that they've faced in their life. They may believe that they need to conform to others' way of thinking to keep them happy and just compensate for the fact that they've got ADHD. And I thought this was really, really interesting because... I didn't realise that that may be one of the reasons why I do this. Who knows?
Your brain is just so clever, isn't it? Like, it's crazy when you think about it, when you, like, start learning about coping mechanisms and just the thought that, like, without you being consciously aware of it, your brain has gone, oh, hang on, there's a problem here. I don't fit in because of X, Y, and Z, so I'm going to do this instead, and then people won't notice so much. And I just find it mental that all of that is going on somewhere in your brain, and you don't even know.
I know, it's weird, it's crazy. Like, when you zone out, like, you do it frequently on the podcast, but when you do
it... I do it everywhere, not just the podcast.
When you do it, it's weird because I can see that you're doing it, and it's almost like an autopilot thing. And I know because it happens to me. We talked about it before, maladaptive daydreaming, but I actually didn't realise that I do maladaptive things to cope all the time. So, for example, if there is a hard conversation going on and I know I'm engaging in people-pleasing behaviour, sometimes before I actually engage in the people-pleasing behaviour, I'll go to sleep. I'll sort of shut down and I can't reply to messages, even though I could reply in that instant and say, no, I don't want to do that. No, I've got this to do. I'll just shut down, maladaptively lie in bed, scrolling on my phone, watching TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Doom scrolling.
Yeah, doom scrolling. Yeah. Knowing that I need to reply to all of these messages, but I'm doing a maladaptive thing and I didn't even realise I was doing it. I think it's crazy. Like, just how your brain goes into that autopilot mode and you don't even realise.
No, definitely. I do similar sorts of stuff as well. Like, I'll even, like, not even hard conversations. So, like, only last night I had a couple of people that I needed to reply to on WhatsApp and I just had, like, a mental block about it. Like, I just thought I couldn't bring myself to reply to anybody. These are all friends. None of them, we weren't arguing. This is just normal conversation that I was just suddenly not part of. And I just thought, no, I can't do it. And I sat there and I, like, doom scrolled a little bit on my phone. And then I was like, I'm really tired.
It's funny because you're doom scrolling, but you've got messages to reply to.
Exactly. I'm like reading shit that I don't care about, like little random facts that I won't remember anyway, rather than actually speaking to my friends. And then I was like really tired and starting to get a headache again. I thought, why am I just scrolling on my phone? Like, if I'm not going to reply, I should just put my phone down. Like, went to sleep and then... woke up, just this week and a half long headache, woke up at 5, still with the headache, but for some reason the block had gone and I just was like replying to people quite happily, who obviously then weren't replying back because it was fucking 5 a.m.
I'm just laughing because I know that when I message you, sometimes I send reams. I'll go into like a ramble about seven different things in one paragraph. And I know I'm doing it. And I sit there and I think, she's not going to reply to that because I've literally just gone off on a tangent. I wouldn't know where to start if I was replying to that message. It'd be like, whoa, this is overwhelming. I'm busy. I can't respond to all of this. And then also, I was going to say, before I forget, do you ever doom scroll and you know you've got messages to reply to, but then, I don't know, you're just like leisurely browsing on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever platform you're on, and then you start thinking, shit, I hope people don't think...
Yeah, online, but not with them.
I can't see that on my line, yeah. Because they'll know.
Definitely. That I'm not replying definitely. To their messages. I definitely have that. But the thing is, for me, I will often be doing something like doom scrolling out of like guilt because I've got things to reply to or things to do and I can't make myself do them, but I feel like putting my phone down is admitting defeat, whereas like if I've got my phone in my hand, even if I'm doing something else on it, then I'm, you know, only half a step away from replying. It's a story I tell myself. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, as I'm saying it out loud, I can hear how ridiculous it sounds, but I do it all the time.
It's funny because it is also related to people pleasing, because as we said last episode, you shouldn't have to apologize for needing that break. And sometimes, especially if you're receiving overwhelming messages from friends, then sometimes you do need to have that grace. And I know now that when I message you and you don't reply, I just think, you know what, she's really busy. I wouldn't reply to me anyway sending that shit, so she'll reply when she's ready.
I've got a really bad habit as well of checking my phone. I think I've said this before, checking my phone before I'm about to do something. So like driving, so say, like I'll check my phone just to make sure there's nothing that I've missed. But then what that means is I'll read messages that I don't have time to reply to. And I think, it's fine, I'll just reply to those when I get there, immediately forget.
I was holding my tongue then, I thought... Shall I just interrupt and say, you said this last episode?
Yeah, but I do it all the time. Like, I do it for driving. Driving's the big one. Driving's the one I gave the example for. But I do it all the time. Like, I don't know, if I'm just about to... it's been a long time since I was in the cinema, but something like that. So, say I was just about to go watch a show or something like that. I'd check my phone immediately beforehand and then be like, well, that was pointless because I haven't got time to deal with any of the issues that have arose.
That is the story of your life. I haven't got time.
Yeah. Or like, say like at work, I'm just finishing my lunch and I'll be like, right, I just checked my phone. Well, my lunch is finished now, so whoever's messaged me is going to have to wait. So I'd be better off to just not check it and not read it, because then it would come up as unread and I'd remember the next time I got my phone out. But
do you know what?
You know me, just one big bad habit.
You are the type of person that would organise a time management meeting and then have to rearrange because you don't have time.
100%, yeah, 100%.
The next one, and we say this all the time, it is really important. I know you're not going to listen to this. We don't listen to this either, but it is prioritising self-care.
Hey, I listen to this. I try. I really try the self-care.
Sure.
Not always successful.
I am so sure that you take on this advice.
I do. I do. I still can't meditate. I still have not developed that as a skill.
Why? Because you can't relax enough to do it.
I can't. No. I had my access to work meeting. I probably should have mentioned this in the podcast. I totally forgot because it was a complete non-event, waste of my time. I had like an access to work therapy meeting about my ADHD. And one of the things that she suggested as a way to like relax is to sit down and listen to music.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to keep an open mind. How many seconds do you think I sat down for?
Stop. I can't.
I literally felt like ants were crawling under my skin.
30
there
seconds.
There is no way. Oh, not as long. I think it was like 7 seconds. There's no way
you
that I could just
chance.
Sit there. Not doing anything with my hands, not watching anything, just sit there on the sofa and listen. No, not happening.
Do you know what you need to do, Shell? You need to practice impulse control like a dog, you know, when you need, when you need to teach them impulse control. 7 seconds, that's not giving it a go, is it?
I've Let's got the memory fair. Of a goldfish, haven't I?
Oh, it's Halloween. This is our Halloween episode. Ooh.
Is it?
Sorry, that just came out of nowhere.
It's not actually even Halloween, but it's fine. It's like 5 days away.
It's 3 days away, isn't it? 3 days away, and it's Halloween weekend, so yes, this is classed as a Halloween episode.
Right, okay. Halloween special, because Sparky's just remembered about it.
Speaking of Halloween, I was going to say, I brought lots of pumpkins from the pumpkin picking field, or whatever it's called, and I posted a picture on Instagram, on my Instagram account, and I'd put on there saying, oh, I can't wait to make soups with all of these pumpkins. And one of my friends replied with a voice note, basically laughing, saying, I love the positivity, but I know full well that those pumpkins are going to sit on the side. They're not going to make the soup. They're not going to make the stews. And they're just going to rot. And I sat there and I thought, do you know what? Every year I go pumpkin picking and every year the pumpkins rot.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that was a massive sidetrack to what we were talking about because I couldn't remember. Self-care, yes.
Self-care, which has suddenly become Halloween.
Well, if you like Halloween, then it's self-care.
One thing that I do find that helps me with self-care stuff is to have it actually in my diary in the same way that I would have other social engagements or, you know, important things. So if I just think to myself, I don't know, Tuesday evening, I'll take a bit of time for myself, it won't happen because by Tuesday evening, I'll have filled that gap. Whenever there's a gap, I have to fill it with stuff immediately and be busy and be doing stuff.
That good old running on a motor, eh?
That good old running on a motor. Absolutely. My motor is clapped out, I'm telling you. No one knows how it's still ticking along. But yeah, I find that if I've got something specifically scheduled, then that's harder for me to ignore and break away from.
Yeah, if you can remember to put it in your diary, that is a good way of doing it. I do find that boring, but that is a good way. Because
you just call me boring?
No, I find putting things in a diary boring. I've tried this.
Good advice, Shell, but you're basic.
Basic advice. This might work for some people. If it doesn't work for you, just like me. Then, like me, just plan a day and do it. That will never happen either. But, do you know what? In all seriousness, self-care does really matter because once you put yourself first, and we talked about this in the last episode, fitting your own oxygen mask first, that really helps because it means you're putting yourself first, which means you're less likely to say no to people pleasing. I do have some notes here actually that I wrote down, so I'm gonna have a quick look because I'm sure I wrote down some really good advice.
Oh
yes, here it is. So when you're saying yes to something, you're also saying no to something else. And that can be the opposite as well. When you say no to something, you're also saying yes to something else. So with every no and every yes, there's always something else that you've got to kind of give up. So my advice on this would be ask for help and tell people what you need. Because people aren't mind readers. Like sometimes we think people should know, people should understand what we're thinking and feeling. But people actually aren't mind readers, are they? They don't know that you're busy. They don't know that you've got things going on. And sometimes you do need to take ownership of the fact that it's your responsibility to tell people. And I hate saying it in that way because it makes it sound like it's your responsibility. But in a way, it kind of is our responsibility to let people know that we're busy or that we can't do something. And it's really difficult because when you have got people pleasing, I just find it so awkward just to get into this zone of, I've got to do this for me, because it does sound a bit selfish, but it's true. You need, Shell, you're zoning out again.
What? You are. I'm not. I mean, you have been talking for about 3 minutes without taking a breath, but I'm still with you.
Do you know what this is telling me? This is telling me that you think I'm basic and boring as well. We both think each other's basic and boring, giving basic advice. Anyway, I was going to say, it means that you've got to practice this. So practice saying no. Saying no is a skill that's going to take time to master. You're not going to feel comfortable saying it straight away. You're never going to feel comfortable doing anything straight away. If you were to get in a car and drive, you're not going to feel comfortable. It's the same principle. You do need to practice saying no more. And the more you do it, the better that you'll get at it.
I've been trying to do James's positive no. And I find that actually that is a lot easier than just saying no. Like, it's quite hard to have the willpower when you're used to people pleasing to just be like, no, I don't want to do that. Or no, I'm not interested. But I'm finding the positive no is like a bit more of a gentle letdown. And it lets me like slightly people please, but still get what I want.
Yeah, still get what you want. Also, another one is FOMO, or fear of missing out, or fear of rejection. And I know that you have this, Shell, because we've talked about FOMO before. People with ADHD might have a fear if they don't go to something, even if they don't really want to go, that they might miss out on something, or they might even be criticised for not going, or they might not be with the in crowd. It's again relating to social norms.
I will literally go to the opening of an envelope if I'm given enough notice. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm not so bad now because having kids does tend to curb your social life, but previously, yeah, absolutely. Opening an envelope, I was there.
This is the way you say it. Opening an envelope. Yeah, I could see that. But see again, basic.
Basic. Such a basic bitch.
But again, engaging in FOMO behaviour gives you a heightened desire to please other people, which is also people pleasing. So sometimes I think it's okay to not go places. And if you do miss out on social conversations and you're not part of it, oh well, there are better things in life sometimes that you need to be doing. And also, it's okay to say no if you need it to help with your mental health. So yeah, whether you're going to listen to that or whether I will listen to that myself, it's a point that deserves to be made. And the last one is trust in yourself. Practice the self-compassion, as we said before, and just remember that you're not a bad person, that sometimes it's okay to put yourself first. Sometimes you have to say no to make a change. If nothing changes, then nothing changes. So sometimes you do have to think about who you're around, what kind of people you are around. If you're around people that are constantly nagging you to do things that you don't want to do, then maybe it's time just to politely say to that person, you know, you keep asking me to do things all the time. I do have ADHD. It's a bit of a stress. It's a bit of a strain. I love you, but please just take note that I can't always do things. So remember that change does start with you. And if nothing changes, then nothing changes. Zoning out again, Shell?
I'm a little bit lost on the last point. If nothing changes, nothing changes.
Basically, if you don't say no to people and you always say yes to people, then nothing's going to change. You're always going to be a people pleaser.
No, no, I get that. I just feel like if nothing changes, nothing changes. It sounds like it's like half of a saying.
Yeah, if nothing changes, then nothing changes.
I feel like it's like almost profound, but not quite there.
Is this you not getting the metaphor?
Maybe.
Right, this is a...
Yeah.
This,
questionably.
This is a saying, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. I can't believe I'm doing this.
Are you Googling?
Yeah, because now I'm questioning myself. Here you go. If nothing changes, then nothing changes. An obvious statement to make. Well, yet we seem to forget from time to time. There you go.
Okay.
If nothing changes, then nothing changes. Then you're stuck right where you are, month after month, year after year. When it comes to making any kind of change in your life, it basically boils down to, if nothing changes, then nothing changes.
What? Now you're just spouting words.
I can't believe you don't understand.
No, I do understand. I do understand. I feel like it's part of a wider sentence.
No, it just means that if you don't change anything, then nothing changes. It's very simple. I agree. It's okay. Quite basic.
Okay.
Oh my God. Anyway, on that note, have you got anything else to say on people pleasing?
I don't think so.
I love it. Every time I ask you, have you got anything else to say? No, I'm all right. I'm fine.
It's because we've always covered them. You only ever ask me when you finish going through the show notes.
Okay.
If you ask me halfway through, I'd be like, sure, I've got loads to say. But you like ask me when we've discussed everything we talked about discussing, if I've got anything else to bring to the table. It's like, no pressure.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going on in that head of yours. I'm not a mind reader.
That's true.
Right, let's finish off with what did you ADHD this week? And we've got a banger of a story this week. It's Shell's turn, and I know exactly what this is going to be, and I am just beaming from ear to ear, gloating, because I was right. I was right.
Pains me to say this. You were partially right. You weren't 100% right.
No.
So I'm Sparky right. Said last week that by the time we next recorded, I would have a dog. And I don't have a dog currently, but I am picking her up at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, which is in 12 hours' time.
Can I just say, right? We were meant to be recording this episode tomorrow, and this episode is not going out until Sunday. It is now Friday. So yes, when this episode goes out, Shell officially has a dog. So
by the time this episode goes out, she'll have spent the night already. Yeah.
I was right. I knew exactly what was going to happen. It's almost like I need a crystal ball. I've just got so much foresight. Just amazing.
It's a shame it's not helping you with lottery numbers.
I've not tried that. I might try.
Just predicting my bad behaviour. No, to be fair, right, I'm going to defend myself here. I have not intervened or been a mental or done anything mental to make this happen. This has been a combined effort of myself and the charity and the current fosterer, all very keen to make this day happen.
And poor old Jamie.
But I have not done anything harassing. And poor old Jamie. No, he's very excited.
Tell everybody how you've spent the last couple of days in a frantic panic buying all the dog stuff because you didn't have anything.
So that's really what I've ADHD'd this week. Is I'm the kind of person who never throws anything away. Like, I've got the most ridiculous, like, I've still got, okay, just looking around me now in my desk area, I've got a pack of laser printer white paper that my mother gave me when I moved out at 18.
Stop it.
And I'm still using the paper from it, like, bit by bit by bit. I don't think I've ever thrown away a mobile phone. I've got them all in a drawer. Basically, I don't throw anything away. But when I had that horrendous time in June after my final dog passed away, I decided we're not having another dog, not for years and years and years at least. I'm not keeping all this stuff. I never throw anything away. I'm going to be the change that you want to be. Threw all my stuff away.
Yeah, nothing changes, then nothing changes.
Exactly, nothing changes. I was that change. I threw everything away and then fucking regretted it because I ended up getting a dog much quicker than I thought I was going to. So I only got confirmed as her, like, home, like it was only, like, all agreed with the charity, like, 5 hours ago. And I'm picking her up in 12 hours. Cue a very frantic evening trying to accumulate. When I say I don't have anything, I mean, I've literally been, like, acquiring bowls for food and water. Like, I've got nothing. A bed. That's all I had is a bed. I hadn't thrown the big bed away.
And yet your job description says that you're a vet, and you told us all on this podcast many a times how many times you bring animals home. So that just doesn't seem logical that you'd get rid of that, but you'd have, I know. Like, I don't know, 20...
Of all the things as well to get rid of, like, I've got an entire, like, storage thing in the attic that's just full of shit. I probably could have just cleared out everything in that because I never go in it. And instead, I was like, no, I need to get rid of this dog stuff.
Yeah.
I'm never going to use it again. So I need to get rid of it. So I got rid of it.
The 15-year-old paper was more important, clearly.
I know, God. And some of it was like some of it was old and probably did need to, like, I probably wouldn't have used it for a new pet. But some things, like, you know, when you buy stuff for your pets, like, you sort of forget about it. Or at least I do. Like, I do that with my own stuff. I'll buy something, and once it goes in the back of the cupboard, I very rapidly forget that I ever bought it in the first place. And then I'll go and buy some, you know, the exact same thing again. So when I was sorting through the cupboard, I was coming across stuff, and I was like, oh, fuck, I never gave them that toy to play with. Like, oh, you know, we never tried this, like, treat or whatever. So I didn't, like, stuff like that I didn't throw in the bin, but I did give it all away to other people.
That's hilarious. And, yeah. That is funny. I'm like you as well, opening drawers and finding stuff. I'm like, oh, that toy or those treats or just things that I've just completely forgot that I bought. But yeah, that's just absolutely hilarious that you're a vet and you had all this stuff and you don't throw anything away and yet you've thrown all that stuff away. I just can't believe it.
Yeah,
I just...
like it reliably happens though. Whenever I have like some sort of clear out and throw stuff away, I always then need it within a couple of weeks or months. Always.
I agree. This is what gives me so much anxiety about throwing anything away, because anytime I've thrown stuff away, it's come back to bite me in the ass. I'm like, oh, I needed that stuff. I've thrown like costumes away that I'm never going to wear. I'm never going to go to a fancy dress and wear that. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're doing a fancy dress and this is the theme. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I've just thrown it away.
After I've kept that for years and years and finally just thrown it away and I could have used it.
I'm never going to be 100%. Peter Pan again. But one thing that I just wanted to say before we close the episode is we had an episode, and I can't remember which one it was, but I was listening back the other day and I was saying how I just needed this dog. This is when I got my dog, and I was saying, just need this dog. It's going to make such a difference to our lives. And I can just imagine, I could hear myself saying it, and I could imagine the words coming out of your mouth to Jamie. Oh, it's going to be so exciting. She's going to change our life. And I thought, my God, we're just the same person, really.
We are, yeah. We're two souls, aren't we? Two souls intertwined.
Oh, brilliant. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening to us ramble this week, and we'll see you next week for another episode of All Things ADHD.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels, and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.